بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
فرجه. First of all, before we start, I have to get rid of that biography. I don't know where that came from. It's a little too much there. I didn't write it like that. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, it's an honor to be here once again. As Brother Bilal said, it's been several times now. And of course, there's probably a reason behind that. That not myself only, but others as well, try to come again and again because we see something here, inshallah, in the future, inshallah. Inshallah, Allah gives us the tawfiq to fulfill what is expected of us. And also my congratulations on the arrival of Shahr Ramadan, this Eid of the Awliyaullah. I'm going to start, inshallah, as he said, it's going to be, this is a warm-up, inshallah. This is not going to be one of those normal lectures. We're going to try to keep it short, to the point, and motivational, inshallah. I'm going to share with you today, and to get your attention, a love letter. A love letter that between two individuals, a lover and a beloved, who they are, I'll disclose later. But first, an intro. This lover has written a letter, a love letter, to the beloved, but first talks to God about this beloved of his. Okay, so we have a letter in it. In that letter, the lover is speaking about his beloved, but he's speaking to Allah first. And he's talking to Allah, and he's letting Allah know that, listen, O Allah, you are my most loved one. But there's someone else also that I'm in love with, and that's perfectly fine. How we, for example, are in love with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There's no conflict between that and our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing here. He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his love for somebody. Who this person is, I'll let you know. He's telling him about how beautiful he is, how much I miss him, how much I'm gonna miss him. When he's here, I'm in love. When he's gone, I'm thinking about him. He's letting Allah know this. But first, he's talking to Allah. He's lets Allah know all of this, shifts the conversation between himself and Allah to that beloved person, and talks about him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, how much I love him. Oh, how beautiful he is. Who is this person? Who is the lover? Who is the beloved? It goes like this. اللهم وأنت جعلت من صفايا تلك الوظائف وخصائص تلك الفروض شهر رمضان الذي اختصصته من سائر الشهور وتخيرته من جميع الأزمنة والدهور وآثرته على كل أوقات السنة. This is how he's describing his beloved to Allah. What does that mean? He's saying, oh Allah, you've been so good to me. You've done so much for me. I love you so much. These are the blessings that you've given me. This is how you've been towards me all my life. You've asked me to do certain things. And then he reaches this point. This lover wants to put his finger on that thing which he loves a lot. You could say maybe the most. And he's telling Allah this. You know how... Now, this is not the best example, but when people fall in love with somebody, they like to share it with their brother or sister or somebody in the family or someone or a friend or something, right? Why? Because when you talk to that third party about your beloved, you're remembering them more. You're remembering the beloved more. It gives you pleasure more. This lover in this story of ours is talking to Allah, and he's telling Allah about someone he loves so much. It's like that kind of scenario I just painted for you. Oh Allah, there's this person that I like so much. I love so much. I can't bear his absence or her absence, whatever you want to say. And then he names this beloved. This lover names the beloved. It goes like this. Allahumma, O Allah, you set out of those different things you asked me, there is one that was the cream of the crop that you selected for me, my beloved. It is one of those special ones. What is it? Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. You chose him for me. Now there's a reason why I keep calling Shahr Ramadan him and not it. We'll get to it. Just keep that in mind. You chose it out of all the other months. You selected it out of all the other times. Al-Azmina wa al-Duhur. وَآثَرْتَهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ الْأَوْقَاتِ You gave it preference over all other moments and times. You chose this for me. And then this person goes on to say, this lover goes on to say why he chose it. What's so special about it? What makes this special for you? Why are you in love with this شهر رمضان? Okay. Why? He lists five things. He's talking to Allah about his beloved. He's having a good time talking to Allah about his beloved. When you're in love with something or somebody, you like to talk about it. He's talking to Allah about it. Why is it that you're in love? Five or six things he lists. بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالنُّورِ Number one, the Qur'an was revealed in this month. This shows that this person is in love with the Qur'an. And inshallah our topic is going to be about this in the future nights. Get a little closer to the Qur'an. This book that we don't know too much about. Number one on the list is the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an was revealed in it. I'm in love with the Qur'an, so I'm going to love the month that it was revealed in. Number two, ضَعَفْتَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ In this month, Iman multiplies. O you who want to grow in Iman, grow in faith, strengthen your Iman, solidify it so that nothing can get in the way between you and Allah. One of those opportunities for this is Ramadan. For those people who want to solidify, recite Salawat. Number three. Now this is the reason why we don't like Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan, but this is the reason why he loves it. He says, وَفَرَضْتَ فِيهِ مِنَ الصِّيَامِ I am in love with it so much. You chose it for me because you wanted to receive me. You wanted to show me how much you love me. Why do I love it? Because there's fasting in it. Okay, I'm telling myself this first and foremost. وَرَغَبْتَ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْقِيَامِ Okay, so number one, you made me fast in it, but then رَغَبْتَ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْقِيَامِ You encouraged me. You didn't make it wajib on me, but you encouraged me greatly to, you know, stand up a little in prayer at night. 5 minutes is okay. 10 minutes is okay. 2 mustahab salats at night during Ramadan does wonders. We'll get to that too, inshallah. The surah that we're going to cover is going to talk about these probably. وَأَجْلَلْتَ فِيهِ مِنْ لَيْلَةِ الْقَادْرِ And you adorned it with the لَيْلَةُ الْقَادْرِ That of course we all know is خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرِ It's greater than 1,000 nights, which we don't know exactly what that means. So all this good stuff, oh Allah, is in one month. I love this month. I'm in love with it. I'm talking to you about it. Now where this love letter is and who the lover is, we'll get to. Not only did you select me, prefer me, love me through giving me this month, but you preferred this nation over all previous nations through Shahr Ramadan. So here someone will ask a question. Didn't previous nations have fasting? The Quran says that. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ The people who came before you also had fasting. So what's this lover talking about when he says, you preferred us over other nations? It shows that Shahr Ramadan is not just fasting. And we have a hadith for this. There's more to Shahr Ramadan than just fasting. Shahr Ramadan is as if it's an individual. It's something there. It's an entity. Yes, one of those things that defines this entity is the fasting that's in it. But it's not fasting only. Shahr Ramadan is something. Something mysterious. Something that these people are falling in love with. They see what's going on in Shahr Ramadan. It's not just the fasting. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith, they tell us, don't call Shahr Ramadan, Ramadan. Who calls an important person by their first name? You add the title to it. You say Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan. There's more to it than just fasting. There's a lot more to it. I've spoken about this last year, which you all probably remember. I like to call it the hero, the savior by the name of Ramadan. It's not just a month or fasting or so on. No, there's a lot more to it. That's why this person has fallen in love with this month. Then he goes on. Alright, now, so far, this lover was speaking to Allah, telling Allah how much he loves Allah, how much Allah loves him, how much Allah has done for him. Then it shifted. This person wanted to talk now to Allah about something else, somebody else he loves so much. Now, he can't help it. He has to shift even the addressee of this dua, of this munajat. He has to shift and now address the month of Ramadan himself, not itself. This person, this lover, says, you know what, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to turn my head from Allah. Sometimes we do that. We turn from Allah to Imam Hussein, for example. He says, I'm going to turn my head from Allah to Shahr Ramadan now. I'm going to address Shahr Ramadan himself. I can't do this. I can't take this anymore. So he goes like this. Recite salawat. He says, Allah, I spoke to you. So, فَنَحْنُ قَائِلُونَ. After he's spoken to Allah, he says, فَنَحْنُ. So, we are going to say now. He's telling Allah this. I'm going to say, oh Allah, with your permission, after I've spoken to you so much, I'm going to talk to Shahr Ramadan now. فَنَحْنُ قَائِلُونَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا شَهْرَ اللَّهِ الْأَكْبَرِ. I don't need to translate. Ya Eid awliya'ih. The Eid of the close ones of Allah, the chosen ones of Allah, this is an Eid. Today is an Eid. As-salamu alayk ya akram mas'hub min al-awqat. And he goes on and on. As-salamu alayk min shahrin qarubat fihi al-amal. Salam to the month that the wishes are close in that month. That means they're close to being fulfilled in this month. As-salamu alaykum. This is not a ziyarah. This is the month of Ramadan we're talking about, he's speaking to. Nushirat fihi al-a'mal. In this month, the a'mal are spread out. So many opportunities. Left and right, you can pick the flowers. As-salamu alaykum min qareenin jalla qadruh. Salams to that person who is sitting next to you and it has high value. Jalla qadruh. Sometimes you sit next to a nobody. Sometimes you sit to important people. That will rub off to you. And he goes on and on and on. I don't want to take too much time on this. As-salamu alaykum min mujawirin raqqat fihi al-qulub. A neighbor who the people in it, their hearts become softened in it. This neighbor. Qallat fihi al-dhunub. This is a month that the dhunub and the sins are little in there. As-salamu alaykum min nasirin a'ana ala shaytan. My salams to that helper, that aid against shaitan, and so on. It goes on and on. Let's not get carried away. So now you're going to ask, who is this lover? Where is this love letter? This lover is al-Imam al-Sajjad Zain al-Abidin Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamu alayhi ma'arussal salawat.
Allah, Muhammad, wa alihi.
This is the lover. This is the lover. He's in a deep love that he can't even continue speaking to Allah. And he reaches a point where he says, okay, Allah, so after I've said all of this to you, with your permission, I'm going to speak to Shahr Ramadan itself. All of this good stuff now. Where is it all written? Where is this love letter? Where can we find this love letter? As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya. Dua 46. What's the name of the dua? The dua of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam when he wanted to bid the month of Ramadan farewell. This letter, this love letter to Shahr Ramadan is what Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam would do and recite and say when Ramadan is ending, when the month of Ramadan is ending. He can't take it. It's pages on pages of As-Salaamu Alaik, As-Salaamu Alaik. I just read a couple excerpts. It goes on and on and on. He's in such love that he can't just say, all right, the month is over. He has to address it. And I'm pretty sure he was shedding tears when he's doing this. So now you might ask, okay, well, this is a letter. We're just entering Ramadan. What's the point? You can tell us this when it's time to leave the month of Ramadan. The answer is, two examples I'll give you. All of this is being said so that we know what we're getting ourselves into first. It's not to take it lightly. The imam can't just say, you know, salam to the month when it's over. He has to bid it farewell like this. And he doesn't just say goodbye, Ramadan, oh, month of Ramadan. He speaks to Allah first. He's getting that pain off his chest. He's talking about someone he was in love with. And then he starts talking about him more and more, all the characteristics of this beloved. Then he can't take it and he turns to the month itself and talks to that, to the month now. You were this, you were that. It's like those mothers of the shuhada when they want to bid their children farewell when they bring their bodies back. That's when the mother opens up to the people and she says, this is how my son was, that's how he was. This is a person who's in grief. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, he's bidding Shahr Ramadan farewell. When we see how Imam Sajjad is dealing with this month, how he's speaking to this month, pouring his heart out for this month, then at least we get a little feeling of how it works, how important it is. Yes, we might not know the details. We might not see the angels coming up and down. But when the Imam is saying this, the least is that we know there's something going on. And that's the whole point. Allah says, I want you to wake up, I want you to move, get off your back without seeing things. Of course, if you see the angels, you'll get up off your back. Everyone will get up off their backs. But the whole test is, you know there's stuff going on. You know it's big, but you're not seeing it at the same time. That's the whole test. Two examples I'll give you for this. When the kid gets a white phone, when they wanted a black phone for their birthday. Oh, the kid starts crying and so on, spoiled children, some of them. The mom says, you know what? No phone for you at all. Takes the phone away, then that kid will want that white phone. Very simple. You start complaining, your mom says, you know what? Close your eyes for 10 seconds. Let me see if you like a life without eyes. You're like, what is she talking about? So you close your eyes, you try to move around a little bit, you come to the realization that, wow, I didn't know the value of my eyes. That's why I want other things in life, and I'm so spoiled. But when I take something away from myself that I had and was taking for granted, when I lose it, that's when I know the value of it. Very simple. So right from the start, you know, when we're kids, they'll tell us this. Son, tie one of your arms to your leg. Let me see how life is then. You're like, no, life is hard like that. It's like, okay, so then appreciate life. Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan has arrived. I have a lot of time. Yes, but think about the time when you lose it. Imam Sajjad was like that, alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad is complaining. He's upset. That's one example. A better example, one of the greats that we've had in the past, maybe, I don't know how many, he's not considered contemporary. The late Bahrul Ulum, which they say he was in contact with the Imam of the time. the stories are out there, too many to deny. They say that it's either him or Sayyid ibn Tawus alayhi rahmah, one of these two greats. Both of them are known for their contact with Imam Sahib al-Zaman. Now, they say that he had dug a grave in the yard of his house, in the backyard of his house or home. This is not something that's encouraged for us normal people. Some people, they think that they're way up there and they try to do the things that the people that are way up there do, and then they fall. These aren't recommended necessarily. But for a person who's reached higher levels, maybe he feels that that's what he has to do, then that's what he does. He had dug a grave in the back of his home, and they say every now and then he would go and lie down in it. That also, once again, isn't too encouraged. I haven't seen like great ulama really encourage this that much. But for him, it's different. The most that you hear ulama say is every now and then when you get too caught up in this world, you know, this world isn't bad. The pleasures of this life aren't bad, the halal ones. But sometimes when you feel like you're getting a little too carried away, as if you're going to live here forever, right? They say it's not bad to go to the graveyard for like a couple minutes just to look around and see what happened to those before us. Just to remind yourself a little bit, then come back, get back to life again. But things will be in check this time. They say he would go and lie down, and then he would recite the famous verse of قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. The famous verse says that it's talking about those people when they die, they say something to the angels or maybe to Allah even. They say, "Oh Allah, return me, so that I can do some of the good stuff that I left behind that I didn't do then." And then the verse says, "Kalla, innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha, wa min wara'ihim barzakhun ila yawm yub'athun." The Quran says, "Sorry, kalla. That's just something he's saying, he's wanting and wishing for. It ain't gonna happen. It's over. It's finished. You knew, of course you weren't seeing, but you knew it's there because the Quran, one third of it was talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah. So you knew it was there. You just weren't getting off of your back. Laziness, weakness in will and decision. That's all it was. This person now, he goes there, he sees, he says, "Oh Allah, send me back." He says, "Kalla, it can't, it's not possible. This is just something you're saying, it's not going to happen." And then after that, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. After that, they will be in a barzakh, in a life between يوم القيامة and this dunya, until the day they are resurrected, finished. This person, the chapter, last chapter of the book of his story is closed, it's over. So this Bahrul Ulum or Sayyid bin Tawus alayhim al-Rahma, they would go into that grave. I'm going to keep saying it, this is not for us, but the lesson we can learn and take from this. He would recite this verse as if, okay, I'm dead now, and oh Allah, send me back please. But then he wouldn't go on with the verse and say, "Kalla, sorry, you can't go back." When he would reach this part of the verse, "Send me back," he would say, he would like maybe thicken even his voice as if he's like an angel, like, "You have been granted another chance." He would get out of the grave and go back to work and to life and to his ilm and knowledge in the hawza, but with more motivation. That's how he would do it. And that's how he became Bahrul Ulum. So, taking inspiration from this, what we can do is, now this is something I'm going to ask, but I know it's probably not going to happen. But what we can do is, tonight when we go home, to open up Sahifa Sajjadiyya, go to the dua that of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, bidding farewell Shahr Ramadan, see what he says, what we're going to be upset about when 30 days or 29 days are over, and what we wish we could go back to. The least is to look at a few excerpts of it, to see what Imam Sajjad is upset about, so that we know what we're going to be missing out on when the last day comes. And then so we tell Allah, "Oh Allah, is there a chance that Ramadan comes back again And then we can thicken our voice and say, you have been granted another Ramadan. And this is today. It might not even be a bad idea to go every other day and take a look at this dua again and again to remind us of how important this month is. I could have done the cliche of, oh, this, important, this is a very important month, this, that, which is very good. But this is also another way of looking at it. Looking at the end, and then moving our way back, inshallah. That's one point that I wanted to make. Another point is that, what is the best thing we can do in this month? What's the best thing we can do in this month now? We're all ready now. Thanks for that inspiring talk. So what do I do? Well, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had the same question. The Prophet pumped up the people before Ramadan came, Shahr Ramadan came. He said, a month is coming, your breath, the breaths you take, some people take many breaths so that they have more ibadah in this month. Even the breathing is ibadah and worship. Right? Your sleep is ibadah and worship, and that's also the good one. So, and all the good things that are going to happen in this month, the Prophet said, Imam Ali stood up. I've said this before to you. Last year I said this. I have no choice but to say it again and again and again to remind myself and all of us. Imam Ali stood up. He said, all right, that first talk was great. I'm motivated. What is the best amal or amal we can do, O Prophet of Allah, in this month? What's the best thing I can do in this best of months and best of moments and best of seconds? So if it's some of us, we'll say, well, it's recitation of Quran. If it's some of us, they'll say, feeding the needy and the poor and helping out, which are all good things. But the Prophet, he said, the best of all things is one thing. And that is the best of all things that you can do outside of Ramadan. Right? What is that? Be normal. Just live a normal life. But a life within the boundaries of the haram of Allah and halal of Allah. Shahr Ramadan has been set for this. Shahr Ramadan has been prescribed so that we can take away from it something that will help us in the rest of the 11 months of the year, which is the purpose that we were created for, which is ubudiyyah, servitude, listening to Allah. The Quran says, not me, the Quran says, one, I created you so that you worship me and obey me and serve me, ubudiyyah, finish. Okay, that's the purpose of our creation. Another verse says, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, why? La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you can have ubudiyyah, servitude of me, listen to me, have taqwa. Taqwa means what? Stay away from the haram, take care of the wajib. Very simple, in theory. This is the month where we have to practice the things we're not supposed to listen to, the things we're not supposed to see, the things we're not supposed to say. All of these things, this is the month for it. Come on, you're strong enough, brothers and sisters. You're strong enough to not eat or drink anything for I don't know how many hours. What's the record? This is the record this year, apparently. 18 plus hours, maybe 19, I don't know. You have the willpower for this, Allah says. You have the willpower to stay away from something that wasn't even haram inherently. I'm showing you practically that you're strong. Let alone the things that are haram inherently. This is the time to practice. Imam Ali says, what's the best a'mal? The Prophet says, very simple. Al-wara'u an maharim Allah. Stay away from the harams of Allah. Very simple. So like now, all the guys are smiling and probably at me like, oh, we already knew that. Yeah, you already knew that. But are we doing it? It's like those people that are out of shape. You're like, what do we do to lose weight? I've said this a billion times now. You say, yeah, you go on the treadmill and you clean up your diet. He says, I already knew that. And you say, yeah, I know you already knew that, but you don't do that. It's very simple. But carrying it out is not easy. Allah says, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to put you under some pressure that you don't even have to go under. But you're going to do that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become God-wary. You may wake up and understand that you are capable. And that's why I created you. It all clicks, it all clicks. Inshallah, Allah gives us the tawfiq for this. The actual topic of the lectures, future nights, we'll talk about it. Tomorrow is going to be an important day, actually. Certain things will be covered that are very important. Usually the introduction to the lectures, at least for me, are where I will cover certain points that are very key, and we will build on that, inshallah, in the future, the nights to come after tomorrow night, inshallah.